So we have a strategy for engaging dormant customers. So we're talking about people who haven't purchased in a long while. And this is where you can dig gold by just having an automated process for it. So one way to do it is with a win-back flow, which a lot of brands actually have already in their Klaviyo. They do it. But we've taken it a step further.
Hey, e-commerce friends, did you know that only 2% of your traffic is actually converting into actual sales? What happened to the other 98%, you might ask? So today I'm interviewing my friend Daniel Pelek, who runs Email Compost, which is an agency that is specializing in helping e-commerce businesses to get more sales by setting up and optimizing their email marketing efforts. And by doing so, they are able to actually catch up to 16% of your traffic by converting them into email marketing leads, which they then can nurture and further convert into actual sales. Today in this episode, Daniel will be sharing how he's doing so, how he's optimizing and setting up opt-ins, automations, email flows, and he's also talking about advanced strategies to capture email leads with paid advertisement, how he's setting up abandonment flows, not only one, but three. And he gives out much more golden nuggets in this podcast. If you want to connect with Daniel, we have a Facebook group, which you will find below. If you join that, Daniel will be also part of that group. And this is only for e-commerce owners, so feel free to join us. And now stay tuned and watch the show. See you in the inside. Hello, e-commerce friends. Today, I'm super excited to introduce you to my friend Daniel Pelek. Daniel Pelek is the founder of Email Compost, and he is a guy who has been living and breathing email marketing for the past decade. He's also a great content writer, and today in the show, he wants to share a little bit how you can leverage email marketing to your e-commerce business. I'm especially excited because it's the first time for me to interview a non-e-commerce founder, actually, but also in this podcast, we want to get the good stuff out of people who are real experts in their specialty. And with Daniel, we have an absolute expert in email marketing. So, Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Marco. It's a pleasure to be here.
Sweet. Yeah, I already mentioned that you are specialized in email marketing. And you run the agency called Email Compose. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and about Email Compose? What is it that you are actually doing there?
Sure. So I grew up in Tel Aviv, Israel, aka the startup nation. So, and I actually did work for years for Israeli tech companies and startup companies. And at some point, I started my entrepreneurial journey and also left the country to start a life abroad. And today, as you mentioned, I run Email Compose, which is a team of email experts that help direct-to-consumer e-com brands to grow and to scale using email and SMS strategies. Now, outside of that, I love health and fitness. I'm a foodie and trying to balance being foodie with eating healthy. Pretty challenging. Also doing workouts at the gym, generally growing and developing. And we know each other for about 6 years now, and we live in the same city, but not every day we get to sit and deep dive into our favorite topic. So I'm excited to get started.
Yeah, wow, you just remembered me. I didn't know it's actually 6 years that we are knowing each other, but it has been, yeah, a pleasure. And it's interesting to see also how you developed throughout this last 6 years and got so strong in the skill of what you're doing. Yeah, thanks also for sharing about your background as an independent, location independent entrepreneur. I think that's something that a lot of us are also aspiring to do. And yeah, so I was curious, you were working for those tech startups in Israel. How did you get into content marketing and then into email marketing? What was the journey? Why did you pick that skill set?
So it was a transition. I got into email marketing by a chance encounter. About 13 years ago, I was working in a marketing department of a financial services company. And we weren't actually doing much in terms of emails, more like SEO and ads. And one of our clients, we became friends, and he told me about this new thing, selling online courses. Mm-hmm. And he knows a guy who's making millions selling those courses to his email list. Wow. Now, info products were still a new thing back then. So I thought, that's an interesting idea. I'm open to exploring. And long story short, we ended up working together as business partners and managed to accumulate quite a huge email list. And that was the basis for the business. And after 6 years of working together, I sold my share to my business partners and exited this company that we've built. And since then, I've launched a few other businesses that I noticed that email was always one of the main revenue drivers for the business. And with the few attempts I made that weren't email-based, they failed. So at some point, I took the hint and just made email my main focus.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Since you have a lot of success track record in the past, as you said, your fundamental success comes from it. You were able to collect email addresses and leverage on that. I'm super curious to actually learn more about how you did it, and I'm glad we can chat about that. Now you have, you said you were in the market of products and so on. Now you have shifted gears into the e-commerce space, right? Like, what is your target client right now looking like, and why are you getting into this market?
So at the beginning, we just served everyone, like a SaaS company, and we had some coaches and consultants. But at some point, people reached out from my network who had e-commerce businesses, and we helped them, we worked with them. And I noticed that the value add of email marketing in e-commerce was so huge that it's kind of almost natural for me to want to transition to that. So right now our team helps exclusively only direct to consumer brands that are already established. They have a product that sells and they have traffic to their site, typically an annual revenue of 7 to 8 figures. And a lot of e-com brands have serious challenges growing their revenue and scaling because of things like ad costs going up and iOS updates, and also because of revenue leaks in different parts of their customer journey, which is something that you are also super familiar with. So at Email Composed, we have a program where we build and implement an email marketing strategy that covers their entire customer journey. So not just the first purchase that comes from ads, but really strengthening repeat purchases and lifetime value through email automations and campaigns. So we can boost the brand's overall revenue by 25% to 40%.
Wow.
Yeah, which also enables them to scale quicker.
Now, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is actually one of the things that I also recommend. We are getting inquiries from e-commerce stores, whether like small scale or big scale, and then especially for smaller scale e-commerce brands, we would highly recommend them to do two things before they actually run paid advertisement. One is to optimize the store using best practices to making sure that the conversion rate is working. But two, email marketing is really, really important to have that set up. Because you really want to leverage. Once you're already spending money on paid advertisement, you really want to have a system to also, if a person is not ready to buy yet, that they can actually get on your email list, that you can nurture them, that you can build the relationship. And now my question to you is like, can you walk us a little bit through this process? Like, how would you approach that, and what do you actually do with an e-commerce business once they approach you and they want to get email marketing set up?
Okay, so the way it works is that once we have a new client, we onboard them, we do an in-depth research on the brand. their audience, the content that they have, visual assets, customer journey. We essentially become experts on that brand. And then the client is assigned a team that consists of an email marketing strategist and a project manager. These are the people that work directly with the client, and they feel like they're part of the brand's team. Now, behind them, there's also a copywriter, someone who specializes in emails. That's all they do. No landing pages, sales pages, or anything. They're just focused on email and SMS copywriting. So they have a deep, kind of deep understanding of what works for that channel. And there's also a graphic designer, quality assurance, and a Klaviyo expert who implements everything in the email platform. And one thing that I structured very intentionally right from the start is that our team is fully remote, and we have team members in both the US and Europe time zones. As opposed to traditional office-based agencies, we can source the highest quality talent without limitation of who's available in our city or state. Now, another thing that we do when we work with clients is we structure the communication with the brand in a way that feels like we're part of their in-house team. While, you know, of course, we're freeing them up from having to hire a full in-house team to do their emails. And you have to understand, like, they would need an email marketer, an email designer, a Klaviyo expert, and so on. So they don't have to do that. But on the other hand, our team kind of integrates with their own brand.
Right. So that's good to know. You have the entire team highly specialized into setting up every little part of the email marketing system. You develop the strategy at first, and then your team can execute it while being able to quickly communicate with the e-commerce owner's team. And are there any recommendations that, if someone is new to email marketing, what would you recommend them in terms of overhead strategy? What should they focus on? Should they focus on setting up different specific flows, or do you have any tips on how they can capture the email addresses? If they just want to get things rolling at first, what would a strategy look like, without getting too much into detail, but just on the high level, can you walk me a little bit over the strategy?
Yeah, so great question. It actually divides into three parts: the lead capture, collecting the leads that come to visit the site, the automations, which are called flows in Klaviyo, and the campaigns, which are one-off sends of emails, usually timely. Like, for example, Black Friday campaigns are a good example. So let's break that down a little bit. So you have the lead capture stage. It's where visitors come to your site, and the official statistic is that 98% of visitors exit the site without buying and never returning. They just hit the X button and you never see them again, even though you might have invested a lot in actually bringing that traffic to your site. So what we do at that stage is create the machine that is designed to capture as many of this traffic as possible and get them into your system, get them into your brand's ecosystem. The best way and usual way to do it is via a pop-up. So if you're a new store and don't have a pop-up yet, then definitely get it up and running, and that way we are able to capture anything from 8% to 16% of the visitors, as opposed to just maybe 2% who actually convert into buyers. So that's a great start. Now, once we capture them, they are inside our Klaviyo, they are part of our email list, and we start sending them the automated welcome messages. So this brings us to the second part, which is the automations, the flows. And this is basically a set of email sequences that are triggered in response to events that are happening. So one event that happens, we already talked about, that's when someone registers to your pop-up and gets into your system. So we send them an email that welcomes them to the ecosystem and kind of I get them excited about the brand, about the benefits, and what they can get out of it. There are other triggers that's in response to someone abandoning their shopping cart, or someone having a birthday, things like that. So we have a set of automations that we put in place. And the third stage is when we send those one-off campaigns that are more timely, or either in response to holidays or events, or simply information or some, you know, interesting emails that we want to send our subscribers to nurture them and get them more involved and get the brand to be top of mind with them.
Makes sense. Wow. Yeah, it's good to know that even also when you send traffic from all sorts of channels to the website, and then basically 2% are ready to buy, they might convert with you, which is great. You want to have those customers, but 98% they will bounce in any way without checking out. So email marketing really allows you to capture, you said 8 to 16%, which I didn't know, which is drastically higher, and then you can nurture them with automation and so forth. That's good to know. So what are common mistakes that you see when you take an account over? Because I know that email marketing is not around since yesterday, so a lot of e-commerce store owners, they probably have some kind of system set up. What is their common mistakes that you what could you advise here, like as a top tip to improve?
Okay, that's great. Actually, great question, because where our goal is to capture as much as traffic as possible, convert them to buyers, but also we want to mind the customer experience and be sure to have the best possible customer experience. So one of the biggest mistakes is actually sending emails that are only sales oriented. So basically one sales email after another, without giving any extra value besides the sale, without giving interesting information or helping your customers solve the problems that they came for you with, or you know, help them with their goals. So this is one. Now, other mistakes can be a little bit more subtle, but I could actually give you an example from a new client that we started working with a few months ago. Mm-hmm. So it was a supplements brand, and they had a very small in-house marketing team, basically just a marketing manager and her assistant. And they were overstretched as is. And when you're overstretched, you'll probably dread the thought of planning and creating and scheduling 10 or 20 emails a month to all your segments, and you know, keep nurturing them with value and so on. And then also creating a flow or two with 10 additional emails. So you can imagine that they weren't able to get good results from their email marketing. They were generating 7% revenue from emails. And we aimed to at least triple that revenue, which was very realistic to expect after we've seen what they have. And the way we approached it is first to go for the low-hanging fruits. So the things that they have been missing. So the first few weeks, we rebuilt their abandoned checkout flow, which wasn't bringing as much revenue as it could. So if you're talking about mistakes that that businesses make, it's a lot around abandonment. Whether it's customers abandoning their checkout, or their or just adding to cart without even checking out, or just browsing the site and leaving. While with some emails, you could actually get them to complete the purchase. So first thing we did is we rebuilt their abandoned checkout flow. Then we also built another flow, which is abandoned added to cart, which takes care exactly of those instances where people don't actually check out, but they added some products to their cart. So that signifies a very strong purchase intent. And we also built a browse abandonment flow for people who just browse some products on the site. So these three abandonment flows alone now add around 20K additional revenue for their overall 300K revenue. So that's, you know, that's additional 20K monthly.
Wow. Yeah, that's a large ROI.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we also did a complete rebuild of their post-purchase flow, which is the sequence of emails that you get after you complete the purchase. So most people get this flow wrong. They either just thank the buyer, maybe give some background on the brand, maybe do an upsell, and that's it. But that's a missed opportunity. What we do is we have a few goals for this flow. First of all, we thank new customers or existing customers. We thank them for their purchase. We get them excited about what they purchased, so we prevent buyer's remorse. Also, lots of social proof, educating about the benefits and how to use. Nurture them throughout more than 10 emails, actually, to start building a relationship with the brand. And in terms of generating more sales, we also cross-sold additional products that go well with what the person originally purchased. So once we had the flow set up, we took over campaign management. So they were sending just like one or two emails a month, which is also a mistake that a lot of brands do. They don't send enough emails. So we started gradually ramping that up into between 8 to 10 emails per month for different segments of their audience. So not everyone gets the same email. And that's now responsible for around 13% of their overall business revenue. And I believe we'll get that up to 20% in the next few months as well. So in terms of results, after 3 months of working with them, we're now adding 32% to their overall business revenue with just the emails that we send. And I think it's just a typical result.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
By the way, we have a quick online assessment tool on our site where you can find out what are your opportunities in your email marketing and where do you have gaps and opportunity leaks. So it's on our site, emailcompose.com. And I can also give you the link for the show notes if you want.
Here, I also added the link here in the note right now. You can see it, emailcompose.com. Go and check out this form. That's incredible. I learned so much just by listening to you, Daniel. I wasn't even aware. Like I know you have to have an abandonment flow, but you are talking about three abandonment flows. So I think one was for browsing, one was abandoning the add to cart, and then the actual abandonment flow, which I know, which is probably the most famous one, is like once they're in the checkout process. So there's a lot of things that people are leaving money on the table, I can tell. So I was curious also to learn a little bit more when it comes into my expertise about running paid ads. What have you been seeing is working really great in conjunction, email marketing and paid advertisement? Are there any cool strategies that you saw with your clients? Like, How does this work? How are you leveraging paid advertisement with email marketing?
Okay, that's actually a great combination, and I'll try to unpack it. But first of all, emails can actually make the difference between a losing and a profitable media buying campaign. And the reason is we all know that Facebook and other platforms are becoming trickier to do profitably because ad costs are constantly going up and eating up your margin, especially in the era of post iOS 14. When you increase your budget, you often hit a wall where your ROAS goes down and the cost per acquisition goes up. And now you're barely breaking even on the front end, or you're even losing on the front end. But you're hoping to become profitable on repeat purchases. But for that, you need the most efficient machine working in the background to generate those repeat purchases. And that's where emails come to the rescue. So we have these two machines working together. On the one hand, the machine that brings the traffic to your site, which is your expertise, and then the machine behind the scenes that converts them into either the first purchase or the repeat purchase if the first machine haven't converted them already into a purchase. So I can give you an example. We recently started working with a skincare brand. And they suffered from their CPAs going up and their ad campaigns breaking. And the revenue had been cut from 150K monthly to around 70K. So they came to us because they realized that they needed stronger email backend to generate strong repeat sales. And mm-hmm. at that point, out of the 70K, emails generated about 5%. So less than 4K per month or so. Yeah. And so what we've done is to first capture as much of the traffic as possible from their campaigns, from their ads. And we created a new pop-up that had a more compelling copy and offer. And that almost overnight doubled the amount of Facebook traffic that they captured from 3% to 7%. And then we completely redid their lead mm-hmm. capture flow. So to convert as many of those leads to first purchase. Now, on top of that, we took care of the other parts of their backend conversion journey. And we did that with flows such as win back and replenishment. And also by starting to send campaigns on a regular basis. So all of this, within about 3 months of working together, they got them a revenue increase of 26% from emails. And now they regained their margin mm-hmm. and there's more cash for ads. And from then on, they were able to scale their ads profitably. Now, just one thing, the reason we also, we were sending campaigns and not just flows is that we wanted to create a more longer-term relationship with customers where they keep the brand top of mind for their next purchase and get them more and more excited about the brand so they keep coming back for more. And that way, each cold visitor that you paid for with the ads has a much higher chance of converting into a customer and after mm-hmm. that, convert them into a repeat customer and ideally a brand advocate. And yeah. if you want another strategy, which is really
please,
cool.
Please, share them all. That's amazing. I can only, my mind is exploding here. Please go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, I love it when we geek out on those strategies.
So, absolutely.
So we have a strategy for engaging dormant customers. So we're talking about people who haven't purchased in a long while. And mm-hmm. this is where you can dig gold by just having an automated process for it. So mm-hmm. one way to do it is with a win-back flow, which a lot of brands actually have already in their Klaviyo. They do it, but we've taken it a step further. So we create a segment in Klaviyo of customers who were unengaged for several months, and then we export them as a retargeting list. And then we run ads to retarget and get them mm-hmm. back to your site. And then on the site, we display a targeted pop-up. It's just for them with an exclusive offer, something like, here's your welcome back gift. So you do that and you see the revenue rolling in from, you know, otherwise lost customers.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, sometimes you have to be creative push them back. I was actually wondering when you were talking about all those flows and automations, do you ever feel you're sending too much emails? What do you say to people who are concerned about sending too many emails? And what is too many and what is too less emails?
Amazing question. It's something that I actually get asked a lot. And the answer is, first of all, there is kind of a best practice of sending between 3 to 4 emails a month. So something like 1 to 2 emails a week. But this is not a cookie cutter. So you need to really look at your brand and your audience and do some testing. So what we would usually do is we start with one email per week. If the email is interesting enough, if it's valuable, if it's not just for the purpose of selling them something, then people would like it, will engage with it, and there, it's never too much because you're actually giving people value. And the value could be either with information that they about things they care about, solutions to their problems, or even just entertainment, something fun or kind of intriguing that you're sending them. So whenever you send value, it's never too much. But of course, you need to kind of keep the frequency within something that your audience would like. So some brands would send an email once a week, and that's totally fine. Some brands send 3 to 4 emails a week, and it works for them, but it doesn't necessarily work for everyone. What you need to do is basically start with one email per week. If you see that that goes well and you don't have a lot of unsubscribes, your spam rate is low, and you get good open rates, then you can try adding another email, like a second email per week. See how the stats are. Wait for a few weeks and analyze your stats. If you see that this still works well, you can either continue or even ramp up the number of emails. If not, one email per week is totally great.
That's also a really cool topic to talk about, optimization in general. Daniel, I was curious because we talked a lot about setting up the flows, automations, and those campaigns. What is important? How can you optimize after you have the setup ready? What is there to optimize and how to optimize? Is that something that you can elaborate on?
So, first of all, with Klaviyo, and if you're not on Klaviyo and you're doing e-commerce, that's probably a good idea to move to it, because the tools that they give you for analyzing and optimizing your revenue and your email performance in general, your deliverability, the tools are really like top notch. You can't get any better than that. So what we do is, first of all, we examine the stats on a weekly basis and see how our open rates are. If there is an issue with open rates, then you need to look at your subject lines. You need to look at the people you send to. Are you sending to the right people? Are you sending to people who are engaged? If someone haven't opened your emails for a few months, then it might not be a good idea to send them an email. So you can actually exclude them from future sends, and then you get higher open rates. Mm-hmm. So that's one aspect. Just and one example, of course, there are a lot more, but the idea is that just look at your data, analyze them, and see where you can, what levers you can pull to improve them. The second one is going into what Klaviyo calls the benchmarks menu, or the benchmarks facility in Klaviyo. And there you can compare your own stats, whether it's for flows, campaigns, SMS, or actually even the general business stats, like your average cart value. So you can compare them to other brands that are similar to yours. And they take a sample of brands that are kind of around your revenue bracket and around your average order value and some other stats, and they compare them. And they compare them with your stats, and they, you know, give you an indication. Should you improve your open rates? Should you improve your unsubscribe rates? Do you have any problem with the order value, the conversion rate of the emails? Anything that you can think of, you will get a lot of good hints there onto what you need to optimize. And then once you know what are the problem areas, you go into testing mode. Split test as much as possible. You never know what works or what not. You can have a great, wonderful theory about, you should put, just as an example off the top of my head, emojis in your subject line. Oh, people would love it, but you never know. And you never know for your specific audience as well. You need to always test. Yeah. And once you do the split tests, which are also very easy to do in Klaviyo, you get an idea of what works and what not.
That's a lot about the fun part when it comes to marketing per se. Having the scientific mindset and doing a lot of testing that is actually quite fun. I have one more question, because you talked about it quite a bit. Customer segments, what are those, and what would you recommend as basic customer segments to have? Like, how do you divide your customers? Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, so segmentation in Klaviyo means that you are sending lists that are, you are sending emails that are targeted for specific parts of your audience, either according to their engagement or according to properties or things that make them unique in some way. So let's start with the engagement because it's easier and it's most what most people do. You want to send emails to people who are engaging with your emails and avoid sending to people who are either became dormant or they haven't purchased for a long while. You can be very targeted with them as well. So for example, if you have a lot of people who were first time purchasers and then didn't purchase anything for a year, you can have a campaign targeted for them, but it doesn't mean that you should send them each and every campaign. So what we do is we define just a particular segment for people who have either opened our emails within the last month or 2 months or 3 months. So we target only them. Or if they clicked on an email, we can put them inside that engage segment as well. And there are a few other criteria, like for example, if they purchase within a certain period and so on. So this is one aspect of segmentation, just going for people who are involved with our brand and we want to mm-hmm. communicate with them more. And that gives us two things. First of all, we don't annoy people who are not interested in our emails. And the second thing is we help our deliverability. So basically how much our emails are being delivered to recipients. Gmail and other service providers, they look at engagement metrics. They see if the people that you send emails to, are they opening your emails? Are they clicking them? Are they marking them as spam, God forbid, and so on? And so once Gmail looks at it, and if they see that a lot of people are not engaging with your emails, they will just assume your emails are uninteresting or even spam, and they will move your emails to the spam, which lowers your deliverability. That's how we call it in the lingo. So a big advantage of segmenting according to how people engage is having a higher deliverability, because now we're sending to engage people who open and click and do other things to the email and always treat it positively. So Gmail sees that and sees it as a very strong positive signals that your emails are important and should be delivered to people's inboxes. And when mm-hmm. you deliver to inboxes, people read your emails. So that is one big advantage of segmentation. Mm-hmm. The second part has to do with sending the right message to the right people. So let's say you are a pet supplements brand and you have customers who are dog parents and some customers who are cat parents. And if you just send them everyone the same campaign with dog and cat food, then this is, of course, you're breaking the number one rule of marketing, which is, you know, send the messages to the right people at the right time and the right message. And so what you can do is identify those customers who are dog parents, put them in a segment, and then dedicate campaigns for them. And then when you have the second segment of cat parents, you send them dedicated emails. That's just an example. You can find a lot of, you know, other properties about customers' interests. You can, for example, if it's a skincare brand, you can send a quiz, or you can have a quiz on your site mm-hmm. that basically segments them according to their skin type or their certain preferences that they have, and then be sure to send emails that are relevant only to them.
That's really amazing. Keeping the list clean, very important, and keeping it segmented for ensuring deliverability. Daniel, you are sharing so many gold nuggets here in this podcast. Thank you so much. That is really great. I'm also curious now for this audience, if they are curious to learn more about email marketing in general, do you have any resources? Like, are there any courses, influencers, or resources in general that people can go and educate themselves at least to dial their basic understanding in?
Yeah, so I think Klaviyo is doing a great job at educating the DTC community about email marketing, about best practices. So my go-to recommendation for anyone looking to learn more about email marketing is to go to the Klaviyo website. They have both beginner and advanced tutorials there. And also our aim at Email Composed is to also educate and share the knowledge that we've gained from working with so many brands. And we do that both on our blog and also on my personal LinkedIn and Twitter accounts. I tweet regularly with email marketing tips and strategies. And by the way, Twitter is, in general, it's a great place to both learn and connect with people who are at the top of the marketing game in the DTC world. So I'd highly recommend for anyone who's not there yet to jump on board.
That's amazing. So how can people find you on Twitter and on LinkedIn? They just go and look for your name, Daniel Peleg, I guess, or...
Yeah, so if you're on Twitter, it's Daniel _ Peleg, P-E-L-E-G. And also on LinkedIn, you can find me by my name. But since I love emails, then you can also find me on email now. So if anyone's got questions, just drop me an email. It's daniel@emailcomposed.com. And if you want to know where you have opportunities in your email marketing and where you might have gaps and revenue leaks, as we mentioned, there's a quick online assessment on our site. And it's on our homepage. You'll see a button at the top right-hand corner that says, take the online assessment. So just click it and you can get it for free.
Awesome. I will link to all of that in the show notes below. Daniel, thank you so much for this time. Again, it was a big pleasure getting to know all the email marketing secrets, advanced strategies, and whatnot. I am looking very much forward to meeting you soon in person where we can geek out even further. But for now, yeah, thank you so much. I wish you a good
day. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Marco. It was such a pleasure and so much fun geeking out on these things.
Thank you.